Hey everyone, it's Felicia Fitzpatrick, and welcome to a special holiday episode of Call and Response Podcast. So, happy holidays, everybody. It is meant to be the most wonderful time of the year, and as a Christmas baby, I do love it. But I know there's a lot going on in the world and in America and probably in just your own little corner of the world, so I hope that this episode provides you with a pocket of peace or, you know, joy this season. And I know it has been a long time since season 5, y'all. I'm like kind of embarrassed. It's on me. But honestly, like truly since season 5 ended, I entered this huge period, like this huge era of transition. Career, family, you name it, I dealt with it. And I don't want to make this all about me, but I have recently been getting quite a few signs from the universe that the podcast needs to come back. And I always wanted it to, but it was just a matter of timing. But I had friends DM me, I had podcast alums DM me, and I even had my dance teacher from the Alvin Ailey Extension Program show up in a dream and demand it come back. So I was like, you know what, universe? I get it. I am receiving the messages, I'm receiving the signs. So I was starting to think about it and make some moves. But then I was invited to a preview of Sugar Hill, the Ellington Strayhorn Nutcracker. And you know when something feels so aligned, so right, so rooted in purpose, that you actually kind of have to take a minute and be like, whoa, and sit there and be present? That was me that day. Like, I just had plans to make a little TikTok and promote this cute little show that I was invited to come create content at. It's rehearsals. You know, call and response is lingering in the back of my mind. And the universe was like, fast track, let's go, girl. And I was like, word. So I just decided to record a special episode of the podcast on the fly. So, you know, I apologize for the sound. The audio is a bit tricky when you just, you know, have your phone dying and basically out of storage and you decide to interview people. But I think that makes it more authentic and it makes it more exciting. And I think the message still comes across of how moving this day was. Now, if you're unfamiliar with the Nutcracker, allow me to give you a little rundown. The original concept comes from the 1816 short story written by E.T.A. Hoffman, The Nutcracker and the Mouse King. And in 1892, composer Tchaikovsky wrote the music for an entire two-act ballet based on the story. Now, it was not well received, but over time, it has become truly a beloved holiday classic. San Francisco Ballet was the first professional ballet company to do it in the United States, and then George Balanchine staged it for New York City Ballet in 1954, and that's truly a staple for every ballet company and studio. The story follows a young girl named Marie or Clara, based on the production you're seeing, and her uncle Drosselmeyer, a toy maker who gives her a nutcracker at her parents' Christmas party. Now, Uncle Dross is clearly magical, got those mystical vibes, and as you see Clara get into bed, some inexplicable things start to happen that he seems to be a part of. And the next thing you know, the Nutcracker and his toy soldiers start battling legions of life-sized mice and the Mouse King. Is it a fever dream? Is it reality? We'll never know. Well, depending on the production, you do know. But anyway, she's then whisked off through a wintry wonderland with dancing snowflakes before arriving in the Land of the Sweets in Act 2. Presided over by the Sugar Plum Fairy, the Land of the Sweets welcomes Clara by showing off dances and treats from different lands. So you have Spanish chocolate, Arabian coffee, Chinese tea, Russian marzipan, and that's just to name a few. There's plenty more. Now, I loved the, as they call it, the divertissement, I can never say it, of Act 2 growing up, because I love that there was some diversity going on, but recently there have been conversations going on about proper representation, cultural appropriation, and inclusion in those moments. Now, a bit about my personal connection to the Nutcracker. I grew up dancing it throughout elementary school, all the way into high school, and I loved it. To be clear, I hated ballet because that felt needlessly slow and boring, but the Nutcracker made me tolerate it. Like, I would listen to the cast album. I had journals tracking which roles I got and what I wanted next year. I would watch the tapes and memorize all the parts. Like, I was obsessed. And my mom says this because she took me to see the Texas Ballet Theater do it when I was 2 years old. But I don't know, y'all, something about the music and the story just really seeped into my soul. And I did quickly find out during this time how ballet was not made for someone with a body like me. There were not many other curvy, brown, biracial, black girls in my studio, nor in the professional company in Portland, Oregon. And I wrote an essay about all of this for Zora Magazine that y'all should check out because there's a lot of details and it explains all of it. But the Nutcracker was truly an anchor for me growing up doing ballet. Now back to Sugar Hill. It is the Nutcracker like you've never seen it. It is set to the soul-stirring and genre-defying sounds of Ellington and Strayhorn's Nutcracker Suite, as well as some of their original compositions. And there's all genres of dancing, from swing to hip-hop to tap to classical ballet. With a libretto and concept by Jessica Swan, this original production features direction and choreography by Joshua Burgas, with co-choreography by Jade Hale Christoffi, with additional choreography and dance consultation from Caleb Teicher, John Boogs, and Graciela Danielle, and orchestrations and arrangements by John Clayton and Larry Blank. So Sugar Hill, it reveals the glamour of the 1930s as seen through the lens of Lena, the Clara Marie counterpart, the nonconformist daughter of a high society black family in Manhattan and her fantastic dream world in the Sugar Hill neighborhood of Harlem. It's a jazz-steeped reimagining of the classic tale. And so I was invited to a preview, and I was just so moved by seeing a truly diverse company with all sorts of body types, with all sorts of skin tones. I was like, I have to grab my phone and interview people. And that nugget is exactly what drew in producer Ron Simons as well.
You know, same reason I did Thoughts of a Color, and I'm like, look, this is in the center of my wheelhouse.
Mm.
This is what your whole company is about. And here's the story about a little black girl on a mission to find her magic. And the whole story is about find what makes you different and find your magic. How many little black girls could be inspired by this story? You know, just in the moral of the story, but also the leading lady, you know, because Alicia's, I mean, she's, of course, stunningly beautiful. She's an incredible dancer and she's a soulful person. And so I just got to believe that little girls and boys, you know, black girls and boys would look at her and say, I want to do that.
And as for producer Valencia Yearwood, who is a Dance Theater of Harlem alum and has recently gotten to the producing scene thanks to Ron Simons and podcast alum Brian Moreland, this project felt exactly in her wheelhouse too.
The fact that this is a Nutcracker is right in my wheelhouse because as a ballerina, how many Nutcrackers have I danced in my career, right? The fact that I am a Dance Theater of Harlem alumna is perfect. You know, I was just like, of course this makes perfect sense.
Right.
And I grew up in a house where we listened to jazz. I mean, I still, you know, like 2 days ago, I was sitting in my computer paying my bills and I had WBGO on because that's, you know, like, that's my music, right? So the opportunity to bring all of those worlds together, like everything in my professional and my personal life is represented on that stage.
Yes.
Right? So there was no way that there was going to be a jazz Nutcracker set in Harlem where the leading lady is Lena, and we have a melding of all these different dance genres. There was no way for me to say no to this project.
Right, absolutely.
There was just no way.
Now, of course, there have been adaptations of the Nutcracker before, like Debbie Allen's Hot Chocolate Nutcracker, which had a Netflix documentary that you should watch if you have not. But what seems to elevate this one for those involved was the music of it all, Ellington and Strayhorn. I mean, Duke Ellington is legendary, and so is Billy Strayhorn, which admittedly, I didn't know that much about him. I learned he was an out gay black man, and I'm like, where is his biopic, people? They were close collaborators, and though Billy lived somewhat in Duke's shadow, Duke gave him plenty of credit, calling him my right arm, my left arm, all the eyes in the back of my head, my brain waves in his head, and his in mine. So they recorded their take on the Nutcracker Suite in 1960, and it was Ellington's first album-length project devoted to the work of another composer. And for some, there might not be any overlap or any similarities between jazz and classical music, but for Sugar Hill's conductor and pianist Harold O'Neill, it makes all the sense in the world.
So what I love about Duke as a pianist,
mm-hmm.
and Billy Strayhorn,
mm-hmm.
How
these cats, these guys were listening to classical music. They didn't see genre as an obstacle,
mm-hmm.
right? If you look at Duke Ellington's solo piano playing and analyze the harmony, you see that it's subtle and yet so sophisticated, quite advanced, but with a touch of class and flavor
mm-hmm.
and the phrasing.
Mm-hmm.
You can look at the literal transcribed voicings, documented voicings,
mm-hmm.
which are the notes that are put together to spell a chord. We call those voicings.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at these voicings in classical musicians at that time, because they were also experiencing this period of technological growth
right.
and advancement and travel. I like to call it the big blimp age.
Mm.
Where you get this picture of a big blimp in the sky, you hear impressionist music that's so inspiring, and you think the world, it's a brand new world out
yeah.
there, right?
Yeah.
So if you look at their voicings, they're the same voicings.
Really?
The same way Debussy and Ravel
yeah.
would voice a dominant seventh chord, which is the chord that's grounded, a very strong, grounded chord.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at how Debussy and Ravel voiced those chords, it's exactly the same way that Duke Ellington would voice. But what changed is the dialect.
Producers Valencia and Ron agree about the dynamic duo of composers.
Well, I mean, it's Duke Ellington and Billy Strayhorn. That's the end of the conversation.
Just those two names in bold.
The genius of the two of them.
And also what's great about this production is that, you know, Billy Strayhorn never really got his
yeah, flowers. Absolutely.
Do you right. know what I mean? He was paid well by Duke, but he took a back seat to Duke.
Mm-hmm.
Some people don't even know that Billy Strayhorn wrote that iconic A-Train, the A-Train.
Mm.
He wrote
right?
that.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
And he wrote it, how old was he? 16. So I'm just saying,
mm-hmm.
and the fact that he, as an out black man in that period, to be his authentic self, right, I think is an inspiration to, you know, the LGBTQ community.
Yeah.
It's same thing for the black community. And to finally be able to lift him so that people will go, oh.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because everyone knows Duke Ellington. I don't think as many people know about Billy Strayhorn.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But he is a genius.
Yeah. And you know, I remember inviting a friend of mine to the Nutcracker in middle school, and he said no, because it was the same every year. And I can promise you that this Nutcracker is different. So whether you love the Nutcracker and just want to experience a new twist on it, or have never had any interest in it because it felt predictable, it will not be what you're expecting.
What amazes me about this production is that it's jazz,
mm-hmm.
right? But there's never a dance that feels like that music was not composed for that dance. So whether it's pop and lock it, or whether it's ballet, or whether it's tap, their music is so universal
mm-hmm.
that it supports every one of those expressions.
Yeah.
Perfectly. That's what makes this seamless. Because you can go from different styles and different genres, and it's not like, oh, that's jarring.
Mm-hmm.
No, it just flows
mm-hmm.
yeah.
from one to the other.
Alicia May Holloway, who plays Lena, has been inspired too by the music, by the diversity, and by playing Lena, since playing Clara has been a lifelong dream of hers.
So I play the character of Lena, which is something that's super, super exciting to me. I grew up, like I said, not really in the ballet world,
yeah.
but when I did see the Nutcracker at Pittsburgh Ballet Theater for the first time, I was like, oh my God, I want to be Clara, I want to do the Nutcracker, and I auditioned, and I didn't get Clara, and I was heartbroken. But then looking back, I'm like, I wasn't good. Like, I was not good. So, you know, that ship had sailed, and I was, you know, kind of fully accepted I would never be Clara.
Mm-hmm.
But now, when I got the call saying last year that I booked Clara and
yeah.
I booked the role of Lena,
like,
I was like, oh my God, this is like a life dream literally come true. So
right.
I love it, and I also love that it's not the traditional Nutcracker. You know, there's an Ellington Strayhorn heavily jazz-influenced twist on it that is so incredible and just so much fun to be a part of, and the cast is so diverse, and it's just so wonderful to be a part of something much larger than myself.
How I wish the Sugar Hill Nutcracker existed when I was a kid. That representation would have been huge for me. To see myself reflected on stage like that, it would have been so encouraging and inspiring. And even though I probably won't dance in a public production of it again. And trust me, I've done plenty of one-woman shows for my mom at Christmas time. I'm happy knowing that younger kids will get to see it and will be inspired. Conductor O'Neill understands how significant it is to be a part of this legacy, too.
I loved the Nutcracker growing up. Okay. I loved the music. Yeah, yeah. I would love to see. I remember taking field trips in elementary school, right?
Going to see the Nutcracker. Exactly.
And if you told me back then that I'd be sitting here today conducting the band for and holding the piano chair for Duke Ellington, yes. Billy Strayhorn's The Nutcracker, I would have, yeah.
Exactly. Mind blown. Uh-huh. I know. And you're doing it well. It sounded so good.
Thank you.
And so, if you're in the Chicago area, check out Sugar Hill before the end of the year and follow them on Instagram at Sugar Hill Nutcracker. And as for all of y'all, have a safe and happy holiday season, and we'll see you in 2024. Until next time, y'all.